This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. Poet Mary Walker disappears in the 1930s. Is it a case of murder, born of domestic abuse? Or did she commit suicide? Kalamazoo author Jacqueline Vincenta addresses the tough issues of domestic violence and addiction and the challenges facing families in today's world in her debut novel, The Lake and the Lost Girl.
Mary Stone Walker is a fictional poet that I created who disappeared off of a pier in Michigan in 1939, and her body was never found. And over the years, there's been speculation as to whether she was murdered. Her husband was a temperamental man, but she was also troubled. Did she kill herself? Was she kidnapped? And what our present-day protagonists hope is that she went on to live and write. Frank and Lydia Carroll are a professor of English, Frank is, and Lydia is a romance writer. And they've both been captivated by Mary Stone Walker's life, disappearance, and most of all her poetry for many years. They live in the same small town, a fictional town called White Hill, Michigan, and they have been trying to find her. They've looked for documents because she was a morphine addict. She hid documents in various places that have been found. So Frank Carroll, the professor of English, has been searching for those. And his obsession has led to a really tense situation. It's led to his family becoming just on the breaking point, I think you'd say. And the teenage boy, the teenage son, Nicholas, has an idea for what he thinks will heal the family. And this ends up bringing it to an explosion point. So that's the essence of what the story is. There are two time eras represented.
30s, the 90s, and it moves back and forth. But it's easily followed how it moves back and forth in time. And I saw parallels in Lydia and Mary. I don't know if I was supposed to or not,
but
there was a similarity in that.
Well, certainly. And I think one of the things that drove this story to become what it is the search for voice.
Yeah.
Lydia is a romance writer, but she started out as a poet. She started out as someone who was passionate about language and literature. Not that novelists aren't or romance writers aren't, but this was something she did to make a living. And meanwhile, she had other types of writing in addition she wanted to do, but she hasn't been able to. Of course, Mary Stone Walker, who is living in the 1930s, had issues that were related to the times, partly.
Yeah.
Certainly, poetry was valued more then, but she still was trying to find her way and publish and teach. And she had a world, in her world, it wasn't as easy as she
And I saw a parallel, too, that both of them were dealing with different kinds of domestic violence. And Nicholas, the son, as well. Not necessarily getting punched around, although there was some of that, but emotional abuse, psychological abuse. And it was interesting and painful to watch how they struggled with that.
Well, thank you for pointing that out, because that was a driving force in the creation of the novel. The insidious destruction of emotional abuse is something that I find to be, well, it's pretty present in our culture. It's present in many, many families, many relationships. And
statistically, it's all over.
Right. And I found it to be maddening, you know, watching this happen with people where their dreams, their sense of self was being sort of corroded from the inside out. And so that's definitely probably the most important thing that gave birth to the novel in the first place, because I wanted to set up something where a family was dealing with that, and then the main perpetrator of that was lost in a fantasy. In this case, his fantasy is about a poet that disappeared in the 1930s and finding her, kind of appropriating her fame, her beauty, and trying to make his life on that. Meanwhile, not appreciating or even treating kindly the people he lived with and allegedly loved.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. Jacqueline Vincenta talks about the parallels in her characters, Mary in the 1930s and Lydia in the 1990s.
In the case of Mary Stone Walker, in a difficult marriage, also, which this was not a diatribe against marriage or anything. There are also heroes in the story that are men. But
right.
But in these two particular cases, they did have that in common. And Mary's abuse was mostly emotional and verbal as well, and undercutting her sense of self, the value of her value as a poet or as a person who wanted to be a poet, mm-hmm. was undercut by that primary relationship. So
that
was important.
Another theme in there was addictions, and not all addictions are substance abuse.
That's right.
And in one case it was, but with Frank, the person that became so obsessed with her, I mean, his addictive behavior with, I mean, just ripping apart. I could see in my mind's eye this barn full of ripped up furniture, and I was angry.
I know. Yeah, that is angering because the addictive mindset can't see beyond it, it feels like. And
there was no reaching him.
No, there wasn't any, especially by that point. I tried to portray that there had been a more receptive person earlier on in the marriage as a younger man, but it was kind of cemented by his obsession and by alcohol. Mm-hmm. There were, as you say, addictions that weren't substance related. And I think that Lydia could be included in that, his wife, because she was in some ways addicted to the version of her marriage and family that she had had and not
codependency,
seeing, not really willing to see until she finally does see what's really happening. And once you see that, it's...
And it's painful to watch the son go through this, too, because he loves his parents. He loves both of them. He's trying to keep the peace. And you know, he's
right.
taken some hits himself.
Oh, absolutely.
Metaphorically.
Definitely. Yeah. And in part because, of course, the 15-year-old mind can't sort through it all and feels that one of the reasons he comes up with a plan is... because he thinks that it's his responsibility to make it work.
Typical.
And I think we see that,
So, some really important stuff there that you touch on. And you've got some upcoming events coming both in the area and out of area. But let's talk a little bit about what you have coming up later in October, in November.
In October, I will be going to the Iowa City Book Festival, where I've been asked to present. That will be on the 14th of October, which is very exciting. I graduated from there, as I said, so it'll
kind
be a
full
thrill
circle.
To return.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. But the local ones are really going to be fun. That's November 4th, I will be at the Portage Library. Then on the 6th, I will be at Oshtemo Library. And at Oshtemo, their favorite genre, judging by their statistics, is mystery. So I'll be talking there about the development of a story that revolves around a mystery, and that will be really fun.
Oh, wonderful. So these are free and open
They're
to the
free,
general public?
Open to the general public. The times and dates are listed on my website, as well as the websites for the libraries.
I'm Zinta Astars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Jacqueline Vincenta, the author of The Lake and the Lost Girl. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.